everybody's morning. I know that the brothers and sisters that were in San Antonio are having a fantastic time. Has anybody had a chance to look at the video from the comments? It is phenomenal, isn't it? Oh my goodness. When I saw the opening ceremony, and it was almost like the Olympics, seeing the different countries come in and waving their flags, and it brought tears to my eyes. And I am just grateful that something's going on in San Antonio. I know so many people are encouraged. I had the opportunity to talk to a few sisters and brothers from different states who are at the conference and just sharing how encouraged they are, how enthused they are, how fired up they are to be there among their brothers and sisters from all around the world. It is truly a mountaintop experience. Amen? As I was talking this morning, I took a little survey, and I'm going to ask you guys to participate here. By a show of hands, who can tell me if they've experienced some type of trial or hardship in their life? Amen. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, we need to talk at the church, okay? Because there's something going on. Amen? But I was expecting 100% participation. I knew that was going to happen because we've all, at some point in our lives, experienced some type of hardship, some type of trial, some type of tribulation that has caused us to either be depressed, discouraged, all types of things that would not allow us to be in our regular state of mind. Amen? The question is, though, when we go through these type of trials and tribulations, how would we respond? I don't care who you are, I don't care how old you are, at some point in our lives, we're going to go through some type of trial. Even if it's a cut on the finger for a little child, even if it's a loss of job, or a death in the family, or sickness, or disease, or we're going to experience something in our lives, amen?
Yeah.
The question is, how do we respond? This morning we're going to look at a few examples. There are two examples that I want to share with you this morning that I think are great examples of
hard times in their lives and the responses that they gave. Amen? If you will, open your Bibles to Job chapter 1. Now, when I think of hardships and trials, I think of, as I shared, a loss of a loved one. I remember we had that experience about 4 or 5 years ago when my wife's mother passed. It was a trying time, especially because we had moved down here to Atlanta, and my wife was here working, and I was here working, and all of our parents are back home in Chicago. And so when we got the word that Mom was sick, it first shocked us because we had no clue. And then my wife had to go back to Chicago and take care of her mom. I was here and still here in Atlanta. And first of all, it was trying because we had separation anxiety, because I'm not used to being away from my wife at any length of time. Even now, I'm struggling. I can tell you that right now, okay? Because she's sitting in San Antonio and I'm here, but she's having a great time. But anyway, just her being away and seeing how she had to take care of her mom, and then the loss of her mom, and then a year later, her father passed, and then a year after that, my mom passed. It was trying times in our lives. But it was God that got us through it. How do we respond to that? Oh, wow. We could have been, why, God? Why are you doing this to me? What's going on in my life? Why me? Why now? But those aren't the questions that we should be asking. Because we have to remember one thing, that God is in control. Amen? Who's experienced financial difficulties during these economic times? A lot of us have. Amen? A lot of us. How do we respond? Maybe a loss of job. I remember again, from we moved here from Chicago. I was in banking for 30 years, and I retired from banking to move down to Atlanta to start a new business. And this was in 2004. I came down to start a mortgage company. And during that time, from 2004 to 2005 and a half-ish, things are going great. The mortgage company was doing excellent. We were making money. I mean, it was fantastic. My wife had just quit her job because of integrity issues on the job. Her response was, I'm not going to stand here and listen to these people lie and cheat people out of their monies. So she resigned from her job. So now she's out of a job. She says, okay, well, since I'm off a job, I'm going to have my knees done. If you know my wife, she had two bad knees. So she had one full knee replacement and then another partial knee replacement right after that. The recovery time for those, for a full is about six to eight weeks. And then the second one is about 4 to 6 weeks, okay? So from 4 to 6 weeks during that time that she left, she was on her back. And then the mortgage industry fell out the bottom. I'm like, oh my goodness. Now it's funny because I had just been praying to God about patience. Amen? Be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. Amen? I asked God for patience. God said, okay, I'm going to see how patient you really are. I'm going to show you some things and teach you some things. So from 2005 to 2006 and a half, I was unemployed. My wife has no job. I'm unemployed. She has to recuperate from her knee surgeries. We used up the savings that we had. And now what do? It's how we respond. It's reliance on God. Amen? And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes also. Sickness, diseases. I'm sure we've all experienced some point in our lives where we have been down on our backs. Our children on their backs. Mothers, you know how it is when our kids get sick and how much attention they really need. Amen? When fathers and men get on their backs, we're the same way. Wives, you know what I'm talking about. Amen? Amen. Or how about this? How about, has anyone ever been wronged by someone? I think we all have, right? So we can relate to a lot of these things. The question is, though, when somebody wrongs you, how do you respond? Okay? Let's look at one individual and see what happened to them. Let's open. We're going to start reading Job chapter 1, verse 13. Amen? The Bible says, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabines attacked and carried them off. I don't know what Sabines are, but it doesn't sound to be pretty good. Amen. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. How do you respond? While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. That's two little incidents in 1 hour, if you will. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Job is not having a good day. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be what? Be praised. In all this, watch this. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Now, I don't know about you or me, but I think the first incident with the livestock being taken away is a big sign something's about to happen. And then when the messenger came and said, I'm the only one left, and then the servants are gone, and I'm the only one left, and now the livestock, and now the children are gone, the family's gone. Oh, my goodness. But how did Job respond? Naked I came into this world, and naked I will leave. But I will praise the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's read on. Chapter 2. Starting at verse 7. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And look at his response. In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Imagine being, first of all, tormented by the devil. Then the Bible says he had painful sores from head to toe. I don't know what kind of sores these were. I don't know if they were boils or leprosy. The Bible really doesn't say what they were. But they must have been very bad because they said he had to take a piece of broken pottery to relieve himself from the itching. I don't know how long these sores lasted. Now, you think about it. When we get a sore on our hand or foot or whatever the case, it's going to take a little time for it to heal. I don't know how long these things took for Job to heal. And they said they were from head to toe. And then imagine the itching, the irritation, the infection that he must have been experiencing when he had to take a piece of broken glass, basically, to relieve himself. I can't imagine that. And then the Bible says he's sitting in ashes. What's with that? Did his house burn down or, you know, what happened? He's sitting in ashes. And then, to make it all worse, here comes his wife. The one who's supposed to be supporting him comes up and saying, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, brothers, I'm wondering if Job gave his wife the look when our spouse is coming to the living room during the third quarter of a football game and it's tied 21-21 with 21 seconds left in the game and, honey, can you take the garbage out? Or I wonder if Job gave her the look. I'm sure that Job wasn't in a good state of mind at the time. But just think about Satan is even using his wife to tempt him. But you see how he responded? It says, in all this, Job did not sin in what he said. It's interesting to note. Now, we have the opportunity to get a preview of what's going on here, because this happened before Job knew what's going to happen. So we're actually getting a behind-the-scenes look as to what's going on here. Amen? And we also get a chance to see why God does things. Now, in Job, it talks about how Satan was going here and there. And he is having to approach God and said, God, there's nobody out here that's faithful. God said, there's Job right there. I don't care what happens, he's going to remain faithful. Watch his response. Satan said, let me have him, Father. Let me have him, God. Let me see what I can do with him. God says, you go ahead. You go right ahead. But I can guarantee you, he's going to remain faithful. The Bible says that his wife tested Job's integrity. But if you look back in Job chapter 2, verse 3, watch this. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Even Satan tried to use Job's wife to tempt him. But Job's response was, I'm not going to sin, Father. Amen? Amen. So what should our mindset be? Or I should say, what should our heart set be? When we're going through trials and tribulations, when we're going through hard times and we think that God is dumping on us, we've got to remember one thing first and foremost, that God is in control. Despite what we may be going through, God is in control. No matter how bad it seems at the time, God is in control. We have a perfect example from the preview of Satan meeting with the Lord and seeing the response that God had. But when we go through trials, I want you to look at something here. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Watch this. Here are a few examples. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, endure hardship with us like a what? A good soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 10 says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. Turn over to chapter 4 and look at verse 5. It's a heart set, brothers and sisters. But you, keep your head in all situations. There it is right there. Endure hardship. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And here's one we're very familiar with. Turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 says, what? Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Endure hardship as discipline. And remember, brothers and sisters, God is in control. Amen? And watch this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, wait on the Lord. And believe me, he is going to bring us through no matter what we might be going through. Amen? Let's look at another example. We're very familiar with this one. If you turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 53. We'll begin reading in verse 3. You think we have hard days? I don't think so. It's not as bad as they seem, amen? He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten and afflicted. But he was pierced for your transgressions, he was crushed for your iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted. And how did he respond to all this? Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent. How did Jesus respond? He did not open his mouth. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was about to give his life for us, he had become so overwhelmed that he began to sweat blood. Now, I don't know how bad it may have gotten in our lives when we've gone through things, but I don't know of anyone who has been under that much stress where they have sweat blood. So we can imagine what Jesus, was feeling. Because we've never sweat blood in our lives. But it must have been so intense that perspiration became like drops of blood. Matthew 26:37 says, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to become sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Look at his response. Yet not as I will, but as you will. I think all of us have seen the Passion of the Christ, amen? Or if not, we have all more or less have read the medical account of Jesus leading up to the crucifixion. And we know that Jesus was put through a horrible, terrible ordeal when he was preparing himself to go to the cross. But yet, because he had his eyes on the prize, because Job had his eyes on the prize, Their responses was, not my will, Father, but your will. How do we respond when we're going through those types of trials or tribulations? Is it our will or is it the Father's will? Yet not as I will, but as you will. I want to share with you a couple of my favorite passages of scripture when I feel like I'm in the heat of things. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to look at, start reading at verse 8. Watch this. And what I want you to do is, whatever you might be going through right now, if you're going through something right now, substitute the province of Asia for where you are. Amen? Watch this. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we even despaired of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt a sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on who? On God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf because of the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Amen. When we are going through hard times, what does God want us to do? Don't rely on ourselves. Don't rely on our knowledge, our experiences. He wants us to rely on him. Amen. One of my favorite passages of scripture, and it's really my mindset, is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I think we're all familiar with it, but I'd just like to share it with you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, beginning in verse 25, the Bible says, therefore I tell you, and these are the only words you need to know, do not worry. These gray hairs didn't come from worrying, they came from kids. Amen. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So here it is again. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What a great guarantee. What great assurance. Do not worry. I got you covered. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to put clothes on your back. I'm going to put food in your stomach. I'm going to give you a place to live. Don't worry about those type of things. What great assurance. Amen. When we're going through hard times and we feel like the way of the world is on us, what does the Bible tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8? Be self-controlled and alert. Although the enemy, the devil, plows around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And all the grace, all the God, and the God of all grace, who called you to this eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give it to me. Amen. Give it to me. And here, John 14:1. Most of these I can quote because I go to them a lot. John 14:1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And look at verse 27. Watch this. Reassurance. Peace I leave with you. My peace. The Lord's peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And here again, he gives the assurance. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Let me leave you with a few more. You don't have to turn there, but you can write them down. Psalm 94:12 says, blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. You grant him relief from days of trouble, till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord would not reject his people. He would never forsake his inheritance. Psalm 34:19. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 say, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 1 Peter 4:12-13 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice. Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And finally, Psalms 31:1-2 say, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. The Bible is just like our smartphones. Smartphones say, there's an app for that. The Bible says there's a passage for that. Amen? Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, when we are faced with trials of any kind, you can be assured, first of all, that you will be rescued from it and find peace in our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you.
Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the time we could be here this morning. We know that your word promises that when two or three are gathered together, that you are here among us. And God, we know that you are here with us today, God. God, please help us to respond in the way Glenn talked about, the way your word says, when we go through hardships of many kinds, to stay close to you, to rely on you, to not ever question you or doubt you, to be faithful like Job was, God, that he, through good times and through bad, through all the things that happened, he always praised you, God. Help us to always give honor and praise to you, God. Please be with those of our number who are coming back from San Antonio. Keep them safe as they're traveling. Just bring us back together as a congregation and help us to really glorify you in all that we do. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You are dismissed.